This episode of the podcast is brought to you by the UK's number one coral selling website, prestigereef.co.uk and reefdork.etsy.com for all your 3D printed aquarium accessory needs. What's up, YouTube?
And Spotify video podcast, now available as a video podcast. Ryan, hello. I'm Alex.
Hello.
I don't need to say who you are now. I just need to say hello, Ryan.
That's I know. Perfect. It feels
freaking
weird.
Freaking me out, though.
It feels unusual.
I'm going to stick with it, though. I'm not going to say anything else. Not going to say that prestigereef.co.uk is the number one coral selling website in the UK, because we've just heard that.
Yep, true.
So I'm just going to plow on.
Yeah.
I feel so weird.
That's right. We'll get used to it.
Save it, Ryan. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. Everyone, Alex has already told me he's a little bit fragile today.
I'm just a little bit fragile today.
He's tired. He's an old man, you see. Yeah. So we have to go gently with him today.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you not tired as well then?
I am also tired.
You old bastard.
Yes. Yeah. I'm also old.
Yeah. So we've had different weekends, but both busy and intense for different reasons.
Correct.
I missed the thing that you went to go up north. Actually, funnily enough, so I was in Uttoxeter for a concert, one Ocean Colour Scene. They're really good.
Yeah.
I was going on a road and I was like, this is the road I was on when I went to Signature Frags. So I recognized it and I didn't have time to stop in. I was just knackered, but yeah. So I was up north and you were down at Love to Reef.
Well, technically I was also up north from where I am.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Up north.
Everywhere is up north for me, basically.
Yeah. You're on the sea, basically.
But yes, I was at I suppose it's the UK's only event at the moment that has happened, if you see what I mean. So Love to Reef has happened 3 years in a row. I believe it's three. I went yesterday. There were 200 tickets were sold. I believe that I assume most of the people turned up, so roughly around 200 people. And it was actually a really, really very, very good day. I've been to the shows in America, so which are also very good on a much larger scale. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I wasn't sure what to expect because this was the first time I've been to this one. But it was genuinely very, very good. So
was Yorkshire Reefer there?
I believe Yorkshire Reefer was there. I didn't meet your. I don't watch YouTube. Other YouTube channels,
no.
Do I?
I'm on Instagram trying to find someone who's posted photos or videos. Jay's Real Reef would have done. And Fish Palace, of course. Yeah. Why am I looking at Jay's?
Someone pointed out someone who they said was Yorkshire Reefer. I didn't speak to them. So if they're right, then yes, he was there. That's all I can say.
Jay has posted one photo.
Okay.
I've gone to press share screen, but before I do that, I've got to go share entire screen to share. I hate this software. Anyway, here we go. Jay's posted one photo, but he has got a video coming up after the live stream.
Yeah.
And I'll see if Fish Palace has posted anything, but he might not have done. So the stream is likely to be, we'll see how it goes, because I was going to say it's likely to be cut short. Because I would be asleep in an ideal world right now. So it might be short today, but we'll see. Because this is, you and I, every now and then, like you'll say, oh, I'm a bit tired today. I'm not really feeling it. And then 10 minutes in, it's like energizing because we're talking about corals, basically.
Yeah.
So
I've got plenty to talk about. So yeah, well, don't worry. I will carry us through this.
We've got lots of stuff to talk about. But the plan today is not to do the usual features, news, fish of the week, coral of the week, all that sort of stuff. We'll do member questions and then all stuff, but yeah. And Ryan's going to try to sneak in Fish of the Week.
Because for the first time ever, I have done Fish of the Week and Coral of the Week. And then normally I never, ever prepare. And then Alex goes, we're not doing that this week. And I'm like, what?
You can roll them over to next week, though. So
true. Good. True.
So Fish Palace hasn't posted any photos either. I'm sure I saw someone on Instagram posting photos, or maybe it was on Facebook. Oh, do you know what? That was it. It was Aquaprint. Aquaprint. Okay. Did you meet Johnny Pryor? His name is, I think, the guy behind Aquaprint.
There was a man standing behind the Aquaprint stand. I assume that's who you're referring to. Yeah. I think we saw gave each other the head nod like this.
Yeah.
People do. You must have had this in like before in shops or whatever, when someone recognizes you and they do this, and then back you go. So it's like it's an acknowledgement, and we did that.
I am who you think I am.
Yes,
but, you know. That's... yeah. So it was Facebook. It was. Oh, where's the button? There's the button. Right, Facebook. Here we go. So this is Aquaprint.
That was the guy I recognise. Yeah.
On the left, I don't recognise. I presume that's Jose's wife. Guy second on the left here. That's Jose Duarte, who owns Reefs Elements.
See, I didn't know that.
Ah.
I wanted to meet him.
Oh no!
And I didn't know. I didn't know that he. I also did the head nod with him.
Okay. So, I did a lot of head nods. Yeah. He probably thought you knew who he was, but okay. Because I would. So I've met him before. I sold a coral to him years ago. I think we swapped corals years ago. Anyway, I'd like to. That was before he'd set up Reef Elements.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd like to meet him again. But and then obviously Saxby. Everybody knows David Saxby.
Yeah.
And then the guy on the right is Johnny. I think his name's Johnny Pryor. Aquaprint.
Yeah.
3D printing extraordinaire, the second best 3D printer for aquarium accessories in the UK.
After reef.exe.co.uk.
Of course, .com, for God's sake, Ryan.
I can never get it right.
So actually, it would have been good to see, obviously, Aquaprint is 10 times, 100 times the scale of what I do. And he does some really good stuff, actually. You can see his little coral racks there, frag trays, frag racks, and all that sort of stuff. But there were other photos, anyway. Chesart?
Yep. That actually, there was some paintings there which I really really liked. There was one of a batfish which I liked a lot.
I thought there were more of the okay. Anyway, we'll see in Jay's video, I suspect. But yeah, I've not seen any of those pictures. Chezart, CHEZ_art on Instagram, I think it is, and she does like reef based artwork canvases.
Yes,
but they glow under, like if you put it next to your tank, it'll fluoresce under next to blue LEDs, right?
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, Jamie has no willpower, and he bought one as well.
Oh, did he?
As well as loads of other things that day.
I did think actually one would look good here.
It probably would. But... See, she spoke to me about one. There was, as I said, I really really like the batfish, and it wasn't overly expensive. To be fair,
how much are we talking?
Well, let's say some of her paintings I think were like 1,700. This one was like 170. The 1,700 one, I think was a massive clownfish one. That wasn't there on that day. That was like an old one I saw a long time ago.
Yeah, okay.
Which I asked about. I think the most expensive one on the day was 600, which was a big whale shark.
Okay,
whale shark. But this one was 175 pounds, I think. And like, even those, or to have those framed and everything, I think they were like 80 or 90 pounds. So
a
printed picture. Sorry to ruin everyone's illusion. It's not some sort of fine art. I liked it. And then she did approach me, and I just thought to myself, like, where would I put it? Like, you've seen my house. That it would go nowhere. It would be so out.
Exactly. It wouldn't fit with the aesthetic you're going for.
Yeah. Well, basically nothing.
There was I've seen a couple of them that I've thought looked good, but I don't generally like to buy that sort of stuff unless I can see it, because it's got to look right. But there was one thing I saw on Etsy that was it was like a glass. I can't describe it. It was like an acrylic glass kind of painting. It was amazing, but it was about 400 quid. And I was like, it was in America, from America as well. Yeah. So I didn't want to risk it, but I'd like to see some of those in the flesh because they do look cool.
Yeah. sorry.
I was just going to say, so Jay's Real Reef says, evening, Alex and Ryan. Wish you could have made it. Yeah. So, and I don't know when this was, I don't know when this was announced, but it was announced after I'd already arranged to see my mates. And I see these are my mates from uni, who I see once a year. So, but next time.
Do you know the best bit is, though, and I've told Alex this already, there was a bald guy there that people thought was Alex. Which was so funny to me. Yeah. I think he said it. He told me that I think it was a couple of times. He might even be in the chat because, like, he obviously recognized me. So he might obviously be. He must watch one of our channels. That Jay's also just mentioned that it wasn't my Ferrari. I didn't have a Ferrari, But it was funny because Jamie and I obviously turned up in the Ferrari and then a Lamborghini parked right next to it to go, look at nice Ferrari, look at this.
Oh, imagine if I'd got out of that that Lamborghini.
That would have been, true, that would have been better.
A lot of money on YouTube, telling you.
What I will say is that you were definitely missed. Like, I'm not just saying this to you, but a lot of people spoke to me and mentioned you, if you see what I mean. Saying, I'm glad you're not here. because then the better one of the two, you know, is exactly, representing the live stream.
It would have been really good to go there. So next year I'll do it, but we'll go to the next one, which is Aqua H in September.
Yes,
in the Midlands.
I'm looking forward to that.
I did see some other stuff on Aqua on Facebook this week, but actually the one thing I noticed with Love to Reef, one thing they did really well was talk about it a lot all over social media. So Aqua H is still a while away, so I guess they'll build up slowly, but you don't see that much about Aqua H. Every now and then they'll post. But Love to Reef, they talked about it a lot on their live stream, and they're posting everywhere. And it was kind of always at the front of your mind. It kind of built excitement. I thought they did that really well. Given that it's basically one person.
I was distracted by the chat. Because Jay says he thought it was me and you in the front row of the talk, and I was sitting next to Jamie.
Oh, really?
And I'm not joking. I think a few people thought that.
That's fair. So, Jamie's shorter than me, though. So
but when you're sitting down, it doesn't matter. I will say, I got to meet Jay's Real Reef. Jay's Real Reef is genuinely a really, really nice guy. You know, sometimes you know you meet your heroes and they're not the person you think.
Never meet your heroes.
Well, Jay got to meet his hero. No, I'm just joking. No, it was just, Jay was genuinely really nice. And I got a couple of corals from Jay as well, which was, and he didn't even ask for anything in return. So,
Jay, we talked about this. You needed to get like a nice gold, that gold gunny off him.
Literally, like, I think I said possibly twice, definitely once. So, let me know what you want. And I was even going to bring something for him. And then I thought, because I was going to bring a really, really nice Montipora. It's like a real bright one. And then I thought, well, if he doesn't like Montipora, then I don't want to give him something he doesn't want, if you see what I mean. So I've just said, look, in the future, I'll sort something out for you.
Yeah. It's funny because sometimes I've been given corals for free before. Sometimes when I bought them online and a free one arrives. Yeah. And the person selling it probably thinks, oh, this is great, he'll love this. Yeah. But I just think, oh, I don't actually want that. So I end up taking it back to my I end up either giving it away, taking it back to my local fish shop, or selling it. Because you and I all the time, we'll look at the same coral, I'll think it's awesome and you'll think it's rubbish, or vice versa. It's so funny how personally
all the time when people come to the coral farm, they ask for oh, just pick some coral for me, and I go, no, this is your tank, you pick your own bloody corals. because it's personal choice. First thing I do, I go, you see that brown piece of cabbage coral, that's what I'm picking for you, and then they immediately start picking. There was actually one other thing. There was lots of things about the day which were nice, but one of the things I also got to see, a fish I'd never seen before. It was a Mauritian zebra tank, which is also the fish of the week.
I've stopped him, guys. You can't even know. Ryan, you snuck in a fish of the week. I was going to hold that for next week. This is going to be a weird interlude, by the way. We'll come back onto that, but I've got to take a photo of something on my wall.
That is weird. Anyway, the reason I like this fish of the week, while you're taking a picture of something on your wall, can we inquire what that picture is?
It's a really weird insect. I don't know what I've never seen it before.
Don't know.
And it's just, it's weird. And I just think it was cool, so I'm going to take a photo. Anyway, carry on.
So I've seen pictures of that Mauritian zebra tang, which is definitely not the fish of the week, but you should definitely get one up just so you can show people.
Mauritian zebra. I think I know.
I always thought, it's just a convict tang with an extra black stripe. But seeing one in person, I was like, that is a nice fish.
Polyzona tangs, yeah. I saw these in Mauritius when I was on honeymoon.
Oh, really?
There was,
you can see they're very expensive.
Yeah, there were some in. I can't remember if it was this one. The island next to Mauritius is called Reunion. It's part of France, weirdly.
Yeah,
it's
proper
French. Anyway, we stopped for like a bite to eat and a drink one point, and then just started looking out over the harbour into the sea. And I can't remember if it was them, but there were there were like sail fin tangs there, all this sort of stuff. It's so cool. But they're a bit like a sorry. You think it's better than a fancy chevron tang?
No. So it's most people look at them and go, that's a convict tang with an extra black stripe on its nose. And essentially that is what it is. But when I actually saw one in real life, I was like, that's actually a nice fish. I don't know why. Convict tangs are like probably 30 or 40 quid. I don't know what they go for anymore, but they're not a lot of money. You add an extra racing stripe and all of a sudden they're nearly £900.
Why are they so expensive?
I assume because they come from Mauritius and...
So do sailfin tangs, or maybe they come from the Red Sea as well or something.
So gem tangs used to come from Mauritius and they were also very expensive.
Right, okay.
And then they found them off the coast of South Africa, I believe, and they collected from there, and that's why the price has come down.
Yeah, that would make sense because it is a long way. But then South Africa's... Anyway, whatever. They're expensive.
The reason is, like, you can't order just a box of those fish. So you can't order a whole box of just that fish. You have to take other fish from Mauritius, and those other fish are also more expensive than you can get them from elsewhere. So you're paying a premium because it's from Mauritius, even though you get it from somewhere else and it's cheaper.
Yeah.
And also they travel, they have to go from Mauritius to South Africa, where each time they're getting put into a holding facility.
Right. Okay.
And then this is how it used to be, I believe, for gem tangs. And then they're distributed around the world.
See, that normally when there's something as fish is particularly expensive for no obvious reason, there's normally an explanation like that, which is why it is. Just, but it never makes any sense because you don't know about it. But
that was also why gem tangs used to be rarer, because there's not many around Mauritius, I believe. There was just a couple like that have just happened to be there that were collected, so they were quite rare. But when they found them in off the coast of Africa, I believe this is true. This is what I was told. There's loads of them. So they've gone from being a fish which was quite rare and hard to get hold of and expensive to ship to people to being not that at all anymore, which is why the price is no longer £1,500, which is what they were at one point.
Yeah. So do you want to see a side-by-side comparison of the zebra and the convict?
Yes.
There you go. So this is on a BIS website. Small is 35 quid, big is 75 quid. Tiny... 29 quid. Anyway, whatever. I controversial, and I haven't seen that in the flesh for a little while. Yeah. Anyway, I prefer the convict tang.
I've got a convict tang, and I can assure you that the zebra tang is nicer.
Neither of them really do it for me, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
And which is a shame because the convict tang is supposedly all that, like places like Worldwide Corals always talk about how that's one of the best tangs for algae. Because they eat all sorts of stuff.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that was good.
What else did you see at Love to Reef? You said there was a coral swap, a frag swap.
Yeah, the frag swap was good. That was like very, very popular. And I think I took home 7 or 8 new like corals, which were essentially like free corals where they were trades. I think I took 5 that I bought on the day. Actually, I took more than that, I think, because obviously I got Jay's ones as well. The frag swap was good. It was, and what was nice is that some of the people, there were also free corals there as well that people could take. And the people that were running it, which is Shamila, who you'll see in the chat, I believe she said to me, when she came a few years ago, she took 13 free corals. And I thought, greedy. No, that's not what I thought. No, she took 13 free corals. And then this year, she bought 13 free corals back for other people so that the new people can experience what she got to experience, which I thought was really nice.
Yeah.
And I am probably going to try to set up something similar myself, like permanently, where people can come and trade corals. But the reason I don't do it is because what happens is someone wants to give me their crazy name Zoas or something, which is fine. But then they want a gold torch, which I paid for. So it's not the same as trading something which I've grown.
Right, I see. Yeah, okay.
So I want to somehow work out how I can go, right, these corals I've grown, you can have any of these. You can even, if it's something rare, you can have multiple of these corals for your coral, because I can keep increasing my number of species, which I haven't done for a while. And that was why this was so good for me, because I've got 17 new species to grow now.
Can you put like a section on your website that's like UK grown or homegrown or something or whatever?
I mean, I could. The other thing I could put on there is literally just put frag swap, and then I could frag swap corals and then put all of the corals. You can put them in two different locations. I can say these corals are available for frag swap, basically. But you have to sort of be, well, you don't have to be relatively close, but it's better if you are close, because then it's easy. You can just sort of, like, just literally come and
yeah. Yeah, completely. That insect's about to attack me, Ryan. It looks pretty vicious.
You'll be fine. You'll be fine.
So frag swap was good.
Yeah, that was good. I said, I think a lot of people benefit from that. And I actually, it's a bit of a shame, because I actually only joined the frag swap thing about 3 days before the show.
It was a WhatsApp group. How did it work?
Yeah. It was insane how it worked. There's 126 people in this WhatsApp group that could all message at any time. And although most people would put pictures of their corals and they say, this is what... So I posted like 30 pictures and I wrote, I'm looking for zoas, lithophyllum, samacora, or anything I can grow, basically. Mm. And then people would reply tagging me and going, this is what I've got that I can get from you. However, there are some rogue people in the group, and some of you will be in this chat now, yeah, which are just talking about random shit. This makes it so hard to follow.
Yeah.
But what's not, the group's still going. So I think six people have left the group, but other people are still chatting, and they're talking about not like frag swaps anymore.
Yeah, just
they're talking about like
fish
just
stuff.
Yeah. And I think it's nice. I don't know what it would be like for. So I get a very different experience when I go to these shows, because obviously I get to meet the people that watch the channel. So I've said this before, we just see a number that goes up, don't we? And you don't realize that though that number is an actual person.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas on the day, like, people come up to you and they want to shake your hand and they want to. So someone came up to me and literally just went, I got to go, but I had to tell you, I love what you do.
Yeah,
and I'm like, what do I do anymore?
Yeah,
and that's
I love nice. What you used to do. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. I had quite a few people moan that I don't put as many videos out anymore. That definitely happened.
Quite right.
I had literally people taking the piss out of me because I hadn't put videos out.
Yeah.
So I have made
the other thing that's weird is, so it's not just the numbers thing. So you're like, you see a number on a screen, you see 5,000 people watch a video, for example.
Yeah.
And that doesn't really, it's weird, doesn't mean anything. I mean, if you saw 5,000 people in a room, it's crazy. But actually, the other thing that I notice is when you meet people and talk to people, they've all got personalities.
Yeah.
I know that's the most stupid thing in the world to say, but you don't ever, because you just get dozens and dozens of comments, you read them and you know what else, but when you actually talk to someone, it's so different.
Definitely. And the other weird thing is, obviously, everyone knows everything about you and you know nothing about them.
Yeah.
That's so there one guy messaged me who I was swapping corals with, and he said, I'm trying to find you. And I went, well, you're going to have to find me because I don't know what you look like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and I said, I'm by the TMC stands where I was. The dry goods and stuff like that, you can't buy the dry goods there, I don't think. I know some places you definitely couldn't buy them, like Exodus and TMC, you couldn't buy those ones. I don't know about Acroprint, maybe, because obviously they're slightly different. The only thing and obviously you could buy the corals. What I thought was interesting, which happens in America that doesn't happen here, when at near the end of the show, the prices of the corals come down. Mm-hmm. So the vendors for the corals were taking home corals with them that they had bought to the show. Now in America, they don't
want to do that.
It's like a free for all at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
They want to get rid of everything so that like you can get real, real good deals. And I just thought to myself, why are these people taking
it's
them
It's easier to put it in the back of a car and drive for 2 hours than it is to fly halfway across the world and, not half across the world, but
I know what you mean.
I know what you mean as well. But you should want to get rid of stuff, I suppose. But
yeah, let's put it this way. A little part of me, only a very small part and not that much, thought to myself, if it might be a laugh to have a stand like there,
Did you hear that, everybody?
There, not at another, not at, up in like up north where the other one is, but a very small part of me thought it might be good to have a stand. And I, because
what's the difference between those two locations?
About 4 hours.
Okay. Advanced.
And I've seen this one now. So there's not, Aqua seems quite intimidating because you all have booths over there, don't you? And it's like, it looks like it's going to be like a proper like show.
How long did it take you to get to Beloved Reef?
Oh, only about an hour and 40 minutes.
Okay. So if Google Maps says if you left now, it would take you 2 hours. And it says to get to NAEC Stoneleigh, 2.5 hours.
Is that it?
30 minutes, Ryan.
Hmm. How many corals can we fit in the car, Jamie?
Yeah.
every you time take we your van. Yeah, no, yeah, could. Yeah, we could take a van.
Anyway.
But it's I think it would be nice. You would get a very different experience because I'd have to stand behind the tank all day. Yeah. So I wouldn't be able to like roam around mingling with people, which is what I like. It's quite nice to do that. But I also think it would probably be fun to have a little stall and like negotiate with people and they go, oh, I'm interested in this one. And
give all your corals away at the end of the day as well.
That's what I'm saying. And then like, as the day goes on through the day, you are like, right, I want to get rid of everything. Like,
it would be a game of chicken. Cause you'd be like, there's some really nice ones. I don't want to pay that price. Am I prepared to risk that they're gone?
That's exactly what it's like. So the people that want something, they don't care what it is. Yeah, they don't care what the price is. So they buy it at the beginning. And then the people that are happy, like are sort of indifferent, might be disappointed. But they also might get an absolute deal. What I thought was interesting, I wouldn't say there was a huge variety of corals.
Yeah,
like, I didn't really see any Cephastrius, for example. I don't remember seeing many Leptoceras or the corals that were there were mostly like, so Collective Corals had little Zoetrae and he had mostly sort of high end SPS. I would just call it high end. When I said to him, he's got high end SPS. Yeah. Acros. Yeah. He sort of went, oh no, they're not, I don't really consider them high end, but for me, they were high end. They were like the bright pink ones and things like that. Yeah. But that's from someone who doesn't keep those sorts of corals. So maybe I was wrong. Maybe they aren't high end. I'm not sure.
So I've been to his place before. He's off the M4 somewhere. I think his name's Dan. Is it Dan?
Yeah, he's genuinely really nice guy.
Yeah, really nice guy. So I bought a coral off him once on his website and he dropped it off by hand.
Oh, that is an excellent service.
I've been to his place before. He's got some really nice stuff, to be fair. But anyway, you were saying he's got high end.
Yeah, so he had some like nice acros. And the other thing that I absolutely like, I love it when people do what they say they're going to do. And he didn't have the ability to give me a receipt when I was there. And I just said to him, like, obviously I have a company. I want to be able to put it through the company. Do you mind getting me a receipt? And he said, yeah, not a problem. And then he got someone to take my email. And first thing the next morning, I got a receipt from him. And I thought, like, there will be loads of people that would not have done that.
This is a lesson in life, right? And this is, reef keeping is the same as life, basically.
Yeah.
But if you want to be good at a job, any job, doesn't matter what the job is, tell someone you're going to do something and then do it. That's all customers care about.
Yeah.
It's so good if you can just do that sort of stuff. But anyway.
Yeah, so that was then. And then AAC had another stand and they had sort of two different types of tanks. The first one was a white light with full of clams. And what I liked was when you put your hand over the clams, they closed.
Yeah, a photo somewhere of a load of clams, actually.
Yeah, because you do see clams sometimes like in shops. And if you put your hand over them and they don't have any reaction, that's not a good clam.
Do you know, I used to think that there's the clam guy in America who does videos with BRS. Can't remember his name. He runs a place called Clam Mania.
I've seen that when you see his stand, the clams are like this. They are massive.
There's like a billion and they're all different colors. Yes, anyway.
Yeah.
So he was saying, I can't remember when it was, but he did a video like when he just sits and talks to BRS Ryan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he said, that's a myth.
Is
that
it?
Doesn't mean squat. Oh,
that's interesting because I've always lived by that. Like, I've only had three clams, I think. But
yeah, But it's still cool though when you do it and they all close up. It's like it's the same with like with the Christmas tree rock, Christmas tree worms. You do that and they all like go.
The other thing I liked was that they were an appropriate size as well. So clams need to be, I
tennis ball size?
No, they need to be over like 4 inches, I think, to be photosynthetic. It's either 3 or 4 inches to be photosynthetic. It's the tiny ones, they don't survive.
They're photosynthetic. It's just, I think it's the percentage of their energy that they get from. And actually, I've had a small Durasa clam before. That was fine.
Yeah.
But Durasa. But the Maximas and the other ones, Crosairs and all that, supposedly are a bit, I don't know if that, again, that might not be true. But the smaller ones, supposedly, you don't want to get a small one.
Because as they get older, apparently, there's no facts here, remember?
Exactly.
they transition from being, they obviously are filter feeders, but they get the majority of their food from filter feeding. And they turn into photosynthetic over, I think, 3 or 4 inches. So if you're going to buy a clam, buy a big one. The bigger, the better.
Yeah. I'm going to potentially have 2 clams in my new tank, but I don't know if the light will be strong enough. So I might just have to have a Durasa.
Nah, you have a Regal Angel, aren't you?
No, actually, probably not.
I bought a clam and a Regal Angel on the same day once.
Did they go in the same water?
They were fine. They were literally fine. And like completely fine. I wouldn't recommend it to other people.
How long did you have them together for?
Oh, probably a couple of years, I think.
Oh, really?
I did it for a long time. And then I sold the clam in the end. I can't remember who took it. One of my local customers took it.
To be fair, the only fish in my tank that bothered my clam when I had one was a cleaner ass.
It's interesting.
Constantly pecked at it.
Yeah.
And he was brazen about it. He didn't wait till I was in a different room. He just peck at it and then it would close up, of course. And then as soon as it opened up again, he'd peck at it again.
Yeah.
That's the reason I had to get rid of him in the end.
And then AAC's tank, the other tank was a blue tank. And again, it had sort of a section of like tenuous, like in the middle. So that, like, you see what I mean? They're quite high end, fancy like things, like corals. And then there were some, I bought a lithophyllum from there. I bought a chalice from there. I can't really remember some of the other stuff. There was a few, there was like some grafted chalices. They sold immediately. I saw them at the beginning. They were quite expensive. They're about £140, I think. But I don't know. I don't know what they would sell for. I don't know how rare they are, if you see what I mean. But they looked quite expensive, but they sold immediately. So they can't have been that expensive, if you see what I mean.
Nice chalices are worth spending money on, though. I saw a really nice one today. I went to Reefkeeper Rugby. I saw a really nice one. But I think it's the same that I've got from you in the past. It's red. And then it gets nice gold colours and all this sort of stuff. Bugatti, I don't know. I can't remember what it's called. But no, nice chalices, they're worth snapping up. I'm just going to open my door because it's a bit hot. Keep talking. Hang on.
That's all right. I hate when you do this because all of a sudden I'm like, my brain goes blank. So there was that. And then after that, there was one final coral tray, which was Eco Marines. Now, I didn't get a proper look in that tank, I'll be honest. So I sort of scan the trays and go, what do I do and don't have? And that's what that's how I recognize corals. So a lot of the Eco Marine stuff I had, which is why I don't remember what it was, but they did have some St. Thomas mushrooms, which I haven't seen in ages. It was like a blast from the past. They're like these red frilly mushrooms, you know, like green furry mushrooms. They're like the red version. But they were about £80, and I'd already spent a lot.
Like the COVID virus.
I had one a long time ago.
Okay.
They were,
What is Eco Marines? Do they sell to the trade?
But they sold to the public that day, but I believe they are for the trade.
Trade only. I
can't say for sure, but.
No facts here.
Never any facts. James Reef said, "Did I visit AAC shop?" Yes, I did. I did visit the shop there. They had some like big acros in there, like big ones. So I saw you see people like dribbling as they're looking at them,
and
I'm looking at them going, "Not for me. No, I'm gonna have this these nice little pieces of things like encrusting pieces that I know that will grow and I can put on the website. That's how I buy coral these days."
Yeah,
if you could go look at this amazing master scaly, I'd go, yeah, I don't want it. And if you go look at this like red lithophyllum, I'm like, well, I haven't got that, I'll take it.
That'll grow quick.
Yeah, that's literally what I think now.
Yeah.
I bought some relatively common, not common, but they people wouldn't consider them fancy. I bought a tub stellata, for example, which I think is a relatively common SPS coral, but I haven't got it. So I wanted it. So that was, I would say, the corals. I'm trying to think what else. And the final thing that I would mention is that the speakers. I didn't see the first two speakers. I'll be honest with you.
Who were they?
The first one, I think, was Jeremy Gay.
Oh, really? Friend of the show, Jeremy Gay, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, friend of the show, yeah. So, and yeah, I did. I spoke to him very briefly. The second one was the person who I now realize is the person who owns
Yeah,
Reef's Elements. So, but you sort of get distracted. I didn't realize that the shows, the talks were starting. But I wanted to make sure I caught Jamie Craig's one, because I'd seen it previously, and I wanted an update on where he was at, and it was genuinely really, really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. So it's I like the stuff he does.
He
obviously
I would say that he is without a doubt the coolest person in the industry, and not because of
hang on a second.
I'm sorry,
I'm right here, right?
No, I'm sorry. He just has this like persona about him of just being cool.
Is that cool to people like us, or actually cool?
No, I actually just think he's actually cool.
Yeah, okay.
And this is what Jamie said to me on the way home. He just went, "That Jamie Craig's guy, he's well cool." And I'm like, yeah, I see what you mean.
I've never met him. I saw him at the talk at Coral Freaks five, 6 years ago. But
he doesn't have. So I think this hobby can give people a god complex. I really do. I think, and it's sad for me when I see that.
What do you mean by that?
It builds an arrogance inside people, and some people might say it about me. So, and if that's how they feel, then that's fine. But I will always tell you I don't know something, won't I? Yeah. But I do think it builds an arrogance in people where they're like, I can keep this, which means I'm an important person.
Better than you, yeah.
Yes, and I just think to myself, if you value yourself as a person based on what's in a fish tank, you need some more love in your life.
It's true, yeah.
Because you're not getting enough of it.
But there was no ego in Jamie Craig's
place. None at all. And by far, he would be the most intelligent,
he's got all the reason in the world to be,
be that person, yeah. And he just doesn't.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I just thought that's what I thought was really nice about him. He also had a lot of time for people to ask, just random people questions. Just approach him, and he'll tell you. And the other thing I thought was interesting was, so he was the first person who worked out how to breed corals in captivity.
In the world?
I believe so. He even discussed how he did it and what he was focused on. And some of the things he was focused on was like I was very tired by that point, so I don't take a lot of information. But like it wasn't just like the lunar cycle and the temperature cycle and things like that. It was like something to do with like the Earth's rotation or something. Like what?
I've seen. He did a Frag Garage. There's a Canadian coral selling website called Frag Garage. Adam, is it? He does a podcast called Beyond the Reef, and he had Jamie Craggs on recently. And Jamie Craggs was talking about the process of, it's all trial and error, basically.
Yes.
But it's like if you and I did trial and error, we'd be like, let's turn the temperature up, let's turn the lights down, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
The stuff he was talking about to get to the stage, it was stuff like that, of like Earth rotation, all this weird stuff that, and he was talking to, obviously he knows people in the world of who study reefs and that sort of stuff, who could tell him about various things. And it's very, very.
There was, so I actually remembered this from the talk. If you break into an Acropora, look at it. Like, have you ever done this? You can, if it's old enough, you can see all the eggs, like the egg bundles there.
Yeah.
And I had a barley green slimer I did, I remember, years and years ago I fragged, and I looked in it after that talk. Everyone went home and cut a piece of coral that day.
Yeah.
Just to see. But what was interesting, it wasn't the age of the coral that matters, it's the age of the polyp that matters. So it's not the size of the coral, sorry, that matters. It was how old the individual polyp was. I'm not sure how that works with regards to, I'm assuming when it grew originally.
Yeah, yeah.
I think. So potentially I don't know, but that was interesting. I thought, I just thought, and he just does it in his kitchen. Literally just does it in his kitchen.
I've seen the tank. Yeah.
I'm like, this is insane.
His kids are really into it as well, I think, which helps.
Yeah.
Which they wish you would, because like that's if you're a I don't know how old these kids are, but if you're a young kid, that's a pretty cool kind of thing for your dad to be doing just at home.
And as I said, he had a lot of time, I think, for people. And what was nice, as I said to you earlier, he asked to come here and he's more than welcome to come here. But I thought to myself, I'm not ready to have someone of your knowledge come to the farm. I think he took about 17 of my corals in the end that are now going to be grown, he said, at the Horniman Museum. So yeah, okay. I asked if they'll go on display and he said eventually, they should. So I'm assuming he's doing something out the back with them first. But he's studying them to see if famous corals are more hardy than non-famous corals.
Exactly.
And I got some of his in return, which is also cool.
Yeah,
because
he
referred to them as legacy corals. I don't know if that meant that was one that he grew originally or that was one of his original like mother colonies,
but a coral that he made from nothing basically.
I think that is what it was, yes. Yeah, but I'm not 100% certain.
Not just one that he fragged, one that he egg spermed into life.
He's invented these like raceways, which you saw I think on the original when we also watched coral frags. I don't remember this part, which makes him really, really efficient. I thought, I wonder if you could use that for flow. But or does it have really minimal flow?
Is this so? It's got like a floating bottom, so the water goes underneath it like that.
It was a V shape, and it was
I did see that.
But I don't know if it has really low flow because that's where the corals are meant to be settling, or if you could use that sort of system just for a normal frag tank.
That again, he did. I think that was on the Frag Garage podcast, Beyond the Reef podcast. I think he showed a clip of that as well. And it's one of the things about Jamie Craggs and what he does. He gives, because he's a researcher, okay? So he's a scientist. So he's not doing this to make money.
Yeah,
he just gives all of this knowledge away to everyone. Yeah. It's open source, completely open source.
Yeah.
Because he wants more people to do it. And then that means that loads of people who've got money will go and invest in it and spread. It's just, it's amazing. But that to me, because nobody does that, do they? Everybody, if you create a process, like the Colonel Sanders isn't telling people how to make Kentucky Fried Chicken, is he? So if you create a process that's something like that, that's so difficult to create, the idea that you give it away is just so alien, but it's brilliant. It's so good.
I wonder if that's the sort of thing that could make, because he said in the speech that he had to pay £2,500. I'm not sure what that got him, but it meant that he didn't have to put it behind a paywall. Maybe he had to pay for.
Yes, that was his paper. I remember.
I wonder if that's the sort of thing where he could have got very rich off of it. I don't know.
I'm sure,
because it's a bit of a niche industry. But if he hadn't have done that, and he kept it to himself, and he only gave it to the people who would pay for it, I wonder if that was something that he could have got very rich from. I don't know.
He would have made money from, as in, or maybe it's the university, not him, or the museum, but whatever.
I don't know.
Whatever. It's just the fact that that's brilliant, because it means that that's good for potentially for actual coral reefs. Because if you can breed heat resistant corals, which is what people are trying to do, then it doesn't matter if the temperature warms up.
But what's interesting is anyone who is listening now has the ability to do this in their own home.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, he says that, but the process is quite arduous, I think, because...
You have to get up in the middle of the night sometimes.
It's not just that. You have to breed the corals. You have like make them spawn. You have to breed the urchins.
Yeah.
You have to breed the phytoplankton to feed the urchins.
And you have to time all this because the urchins get too big, so you need them to be the right size when the polyp is starting to grow.
I've just realised, so when he says in the talk, anyone can do this from home...
Yeah.
I mean, of all the people who could do it from home, in theory, I could do it because obviously I've got like a farm, if you see what I mean, and a lot more time than most people. Would I want to do it?
It seems quite intimidating, is yeah.
Yes, that's what it feels more.
I'm sure when you've done it a dozen times, same as everything. I'm sure when you've done it a lot of times, it becomes easy enough. But to start, it feels like there are many traps for the unwary, and you just make mistakes after mistake after mistake, and you'd be like, ah.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing that I would like to, you'd like to go and work with him for a period of time to see the entire process from start to finish. Because even things like culturing phytoplankton, if you don't know how to do it, it seems intimidating, doesn't it? But in reality, it's basically just a light and water, and it's not that difficult. Okay. Anyway, if you're listening, Jamie, you let me know if you want a work experience guy.
He's not listening to this.
He's not listening.
He did actually. So I've said before, he did. I messaged him ages ago and asked if he'd like to join the stream.
Yeah.
And he doesn't check Facebook, so he didn't get back to me. But about 2 years later, he picked up his message and said, "Yep, I'll be up for it. Just give me a shout." But we don't really do guests, so.
What I will say, now that I have met him, I absolutely would condone it. Not condone, you know, like you understand.
You'd be up for it. You'd be up for it.
I would. Yes, I would.
Okay. It's a shame because asking him there would have been the perfect opportunity. I'll see if I can dig out my
message. We're like buds now. I got his personal number.
Have you got his number?
Yeah.
Ask him. Ask him. We'll do it. I'd be well up for that.
He probably would, and I would probably have to keep my mouth shut for an hour and a half or 2 hours because I'd have no input. It would be hard. But he is genuinely what would be nice, like when there's you have the chat, when they're doing the speeches, things come up and you want to ask questions, but you don't want to interrupt. So you keep it and then you forget. Whereas in this circumstance, we can interrogate him.
That's true. But also, when I've seen him doing his presentation or whatever before on YouTube channels, if you ask him a question, I often get to a point where I think, hang on, what about this? 30 seconds later, he's answering your question.
Yeah.
So you just got to let him talk. But the main question I want to know is, when can I buy your spliced acros?
or when can I buy them? So I want to know. Yeah.
But really, when is that going to be? Because we must be further along the line now than 5 years ago when he first set up, 10 years ago, whatever it was. So
he's
at what point?
Loads of corals now. I think he said something like 30 or 40 of them, like different species.
Catalophilia time. So at what point will we start seeing that? Because there'll come a point when it'll be available in the trade. So when is that and what needs to happen to get there? It must be funding or scale, that sort of thing. But
I don't know. I'm not sure. But
we'll get him on. Send him a text. Him. Phone him now. Send him the link.
ask him live.
Yeah.
I'll write this down.
Cool. We'll do that. I'm up for that.
One second. There you go. Write it down
as you don't forget. Excellent. Okay. Anything else interesting happen at L2R?
All I would say is if you get a chance to go to one of these events, now obviously Aqua is in September, I believe. Mm-hmm. That is a chance to go to one of these events. You should do it. You should absolutely do it because even going Aqua's, I believe, is meant to be bigger than this. But even going to this one, I shouldn't even use the word even going to this one because it was really very good.
I know what you mean.
Like it genuinely was very good. If you didn't go, and I know you didn't go, like you to some extent you missed out. If you went, completely. I'm not sure if I can be bothered to go or drive an hour or however far. trust me, you missed out.
Yeah, because for me, this was not a, what should I do? Should I go to the band? I'd already booked it, so I would have been well up for it. It was really good.
That was more for a message for people at home.
I know.
Didn't want to do it. And trust me, 20 quid to go spend time with 200 other people that, like, everyone just talks to everyone. Like, most people come on their own. There are little small groups of people that like know each other.
I bet that puts people off. Because actually, we were going to talk about fishy friends today. But I bet that puts a lot of people off. Because most people in the hobby don't have mates who are into the hobby as well. You might meet people online that you kind of talk to. Or maybe you'll see someone in the shop. But you don't have mates who you talk to. Whereas when you go to an event like that, you're surrounded by people. And everybody, like you can just turn around to anybody and go, right, mate, do you like corals? And then you're talking for 2 hours, you know?
Yeah. It's not, you don't even do that. Literally, you're like, while you're standing there, you're like, oh, I really like that one. You can talk to yourself. And then the guy next to you is like, that is a nice one. I'm thinking I get that one too.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? And Like, you don't get that ability anywhere else, really. You get it at your local fish shop, kind of, on a very, very minor scale. Yeah. But usually what happens is you just end up becoming friends with the owner of the fish shop, who is busy and doesn't have time to talk to you, but you don't realise that you're being a problem for them.
Yeah.
And remember, I was that guy too.
yeah, for sure.
So that's, I mean, that leads us nicely on to that. Oh, do you want to do member questions first?
We'll do member questions. Just one last thing before we do move on. This is Aqua H. These are all the vendors that are going to be at Aqua H. 12 quid for Aqua H, by the way. It's a bargain. And this is all so far. There'll be more there, I think, as well.
Yeah.
Get your tickets.
Absolutely. I'll be there. You're going. Not that makes any difference to people, but like either of us, not just you.
And I will be there this time, yeah.
Yeah.
So. Member questions. So I posted for once I was organized. Well, I wasn't organized. You were organized.
Yeah.
And I posted the link for the live stream a week ago. And I think normally people look out for it at the end of the week. So there might not be, there aren't as many questions. But anyway, first question is, this is from Rigsy, who says, "Hi, Mr. Dork. I think I won a membership last week," which was James added some memberships. Thanks for that. So I thought I might as well ask a question. "I did comment last week, but I think you didn't catch it." I see like 2 out of 1,000.
Yeah.
"Have you considered doing a movie type video on setting up a reef tank with your new build?" The reason I ask is I used to keep African cichlids, and a UK YouTuber called Bolly12345 did this about 10 years ago with a step-by-step guide on how to set up an African cichlid tank and got over 1 million views on the video. I think he was averaging similar views per vid as you at the time. I asked
for a dramatic effect then.
To cough. For the benefit of the podcast people. I replied and said, "What do you mean by movie type?" And I think he didn't reply because I only replied. But I think he means like an hour long, basically.
Yeah.
And I had a look and found that video. That video is 53 minutes long. I didn't watch it. But I have a video that's basically that. It's only 18 minutes long, but that's how to set up a saltwater tank. That's getting on for 700,000 views now. So that's a lot younger than the African cichlid video. So it will end up on 1 million views. But that video took literally months of planning, probably 6 months of planning and research, because I wanted to make sure I watched all the other setting up a tank videos, all the other videos on YouTube, all the guides on the internet. I wanted to see what people were saying that I thought was what they were missing out on. There's no point just making a video that someone's already made. You've got to make it better. It took weeks of filming and editing and scripting and all that sort of stuff. And it cost me, I spent about £1,000 on all the stuff to set up the tank. Obviously, I sold some of it, but either way, that was a huge effort.
An expensive video to make.
If I could spend the money, that's fine. It was all the effort, really, and the time that went into that. That was a huge effort video, and I did it over Christmas because I had a week off work or 2 weeks off work or whatever. And because I've already done that for a start, so I just couldn't put in the effort. And I could just make a video that's an hour long and just turn the camera on and talk. But if you're going to do it, you might as well do it properly. And the way I make videos, part of the reason that my videos are never that long is because I record millions of little clips of B-roll, 10-second long B-roll clips. And if you do that for an hour long video, I'd be there for months.
For ages, yeah.
Yeah. So I like the idea, but I try to make videos that I want to watch, which is why my videos aren't long. So I don't want to watch an hour long video personally. Loads of people who do, obviously 1 million views for that one. But I want to watch short videos, which is why my videos are all 5 or 10 minutes long.
If you can start making videos that I want to watch, I might actually start watching them.
You make the videos you want to watch, which is all your like.
Mine are usually pretty short. Actually, I don't even make videos anymore, do I? Really?
No, but you do the same thing because you make videos about topics that you think deeply about. And all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that I find interesting. That's why I'm stuck at the moment, because like if I don't, I have to be really interested in something to make a video on it. So and I haven't thought of anything that's like weird and interesting at the moment. I wanted to just mention, obviously, there's a lot of love in the chat for Fish Palace, who's just come in. I don't know if you've seen it. Fish Palace is the person who organized the show yesterday, Love to Reef. And that would have been a very, very big undertaking. I've thought many times about doing something similar. Would have even no idea where to even start, if you see what I mean. So, and I spoke to Paul very briefly before, and there's things that are going on behind the scenes that you don't even know about. Things to do with health and safety and like the maximum numbers of people you can have because of things like that. So most, like, everyone just turns up and has a good day, but there had to be one person that had organize it for everyone else. So that's normally, I don't say nice things about anyone, especially you. So don't be jealous, but like, fair play is what I'll say.
Credit is due.
Yeah, basically. So
He has a YouTube channel as well, so you can go and subscribe. You click on his avatar and subscribe.
There you go.
Fish Palace.
Anyway, back to the questions.
Final member question. This is from Shamila Butters, who ran the frag swap.
Yes, yeah. I spoke to Shamila Actually, we didn't actually finish. Very briefly, Shamila organized all the frags, and they were like, she had like 6 pages of stuff she was walking around with, with everyone's names on and what coral goes to where. And no one was allowed to put their hands in the tank, because obviously if someone took something else, Shamila was basically the frag police. And you know who broke that rule all the time? Me.
Oh, no.
So I put corals in there which weren't on the list. And I put my hands in the tank, and I was told off multiple times.
Good. So, I think you're special, don't you?
Someone had to keep me under control, and Shamila did a very good job.
Even something like that. So you talked about the organizing the whole show would be take a lot of work. Something like that.
I bet a lot of time went
into that.
Yeah.
No.
And the other thing, so Shamila had to stand there next to the tank the entire time. One would come and take corals, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, okay.
So people definitely made
sacrifices.
They had to make. They made sacrifices. They couldn't have enjoyed the day like we enjoyed the day, or I enjoyed the day, because I had the freedom to go do whatever I wanted. So So I think there was a few people there that made the show happen.
Cool.
Anyway, back to the question.
Shamila's question is: I know Goniastria can sting, but do they play nice together? After receiving a beautiful glitter Goniastria from Ryan yesterday at Love to Reef.
Uh-oh, you're expecting me to know the answer to this question.
I don't think I've ever had a Goniastria, so.
I don't know, is the honest answer to that question. I've never put two in, so obviously when I frag corals, they're all my Goniastrias are next to each other, but they're not touching each other. So if you want me to go do an experiment this evening, I can go put
them next. Have they got sweepers? They must have
They have not long ones, just like little ones. But yes, I don't actually know the answer, and I don't want to risk it by just making it up.
I bet you could accidentally misidentify Goniastria.
I was going to say, that's the other thing
end up with a Fabia, or here we go, Platygyrophyvites, Fabia. Either the shop doesn't realise, or you don't realise, or something. Yeah. So even if you think you're putting two Goniastrias together, you're not.
I wouldn't recommend it, is what I'll say. Because I don't know the answer.
Okay. Yeah, so I've got homework for you, Ryan. You need to do that.
I genuinely might go and try it, because I might end up fusing two together. But I've got about 20 or 30 pieces of 3 or 4 different types of them. So I might go put two of them together tonight just to see, just out of interest. If Jamie Craggs can go and like cut up scollies to see if they're like at breeding age, I can go do this, can't I?
You can put two corals next to each other.
Yeah.
All right. Report back next week, and Shamila, you'll get an answer.
Okay.
Friend. Ryan, why is having friends so important?
So it was actually my idea to do this one. 99% of the time, you think of the topics we talk about, and I sent you a message going, we should talk about how important friends are in the hobby. And you replied, are you serious? Or something like that.
Yeah. And I didn't mean like, are you serious? I meant, did you mean that? Because if so, we'll do it.
Yeah. You thought I was joking. I think. And then I called you up, didn't I, immediately, because I wanted to explain the concept of it. And I went, if you had a problem tonight, who would you call? And you went, I'd call you. And I go, there you go. Yeah. That's why it's so important.
Yeah.
And it fits in nicely with the Reef show, because people met each other and became friends, I'm sure, at that show. But we're very isolated. We're a very, very isolated community. and loads of people hate each other for some reason as well. So I think that if you can find local people that is not your local fish shop, so people that go to your fish shop that you can develop a friendship with, you can swap frags with them, you can, like, they can look after your fish if required. When you go on holiday, they can come and like maintain the tank for you. If you need someone to help move a tank, you know, they're forever in your debt.
I was going to say, this doesn't sound like a friend. This sounds like an employee.
Well, all I've done is list all the things I'm doing for you.
Yeah. So. So what I was thinking is you were going to talk about it. Because we talk about corals quite a lot, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Not just like on once a week or whatever. We text and call about it all the time.
Yeah.
And actually, most people don't have that. And actually, you end up, I think you've said before, like, and a lot of people go into a fish shop and they'll tell the shop owner about their corals or whatever. And the fish owner will probably be polite to a point, but if they get that all day long, they don't have time for it. And yeah. It's not going to be a two-way conversation. Whereas if you've got a mate, you can talk to about it all.
Yeah.
Or a little group,
I think I've, you know, when you have something all the time, you eventually take it for granted.
Yeah.
I actually wonder if that is what I have experience with you, if you see what I mean. Well, I now, if I get a cool coral in, you're the first person I take a picture of and send it to you and go, look at what's come in. Mm. And if I didn't have that, I'd be like, well, who am I going to show
it? It enhances the hobby because something suddenly you've got some, because like if I tell, actually, to be fair, my missus is semi interested in some of the stuff. It's all right, missus, don't worry. If I told one of my mates, for example, if I was like, oh, I've just got this new gunny and it's got a bit of blue in the middle, they'd be like, don't care, mate. But you and I would be like, if you told me that, I'd be like, it's boring, I'm not interested. But
that's usually what happens. I think there's two sides of it. You are correct. I was thinking of the practical side where you can ask them for favors. Whereas you're thinking of like the actual friendship side. I'm just learning that our version of friendships are very different.
Yeah.
I'm like, can this person do something for me? it definitely makes a big difference. And I actually said, so after Jamie dropped me off from the show yesterday, I'm not a particularly emotional person. No, I don't always say the right things. Mm-hmm. And I, when he got out of the car, I just went, I actually genuinely really, really I really enjoyed spending time with you today. And he looked at me and went, I love you too. And I went, why did you ruin this for me?
Yeah.
Because I thought to myself, I want to say something nice because he'd just driven me there and driven me back. And then he ruined it.
By taking the piss.
Yes, because he took the piss out of it. But it doesn't matter. I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
So I would say I have lots of customers and I have like even more people that follow the channel, but I have probably three very close fish friends and they make a big difference. Who's the third one?
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
Oh, it's Jamie Craig's now. No. I have, I know an owner of a fish shop, which I've known.
Oh, I know the guy. Yeah.
So, but I even, yeah. So if I had a problem, one of you three people would be the people I would call. Or if I was going on holiday, one of you three people are the people I would ask to come help out. So go out and make some friends. We have to stop being isolated weirdos and we have to actually talk to each other nicely.
Because I think 99% of reefers are nice and nicer than most people. We're a good cross-section of society. But before I met you, basically, I don't think I had. did I have mates? So the way I met people before, like, so you're probably, you're by far and away the person I talk to more than anyone. But the way I met people before was selling corals. So Ultimate Reef, it's the best place to buy and sell corals, apart from prestigereef.co.uk. And you meet people and they'll come round and you have a chat and all that sort of stuff. And you might meet 1,000 people. Just because of the way things work, 900 people, not your cup of tea, or, you know, you like them, but they're not friend material. But every now and then you'll meet someone who is very similar to you or whatever. Yeah. And even the conversations that you have just generally, it's always, you'll never have a bad experience. but you'll meet people that way. It's harder to meet people going into a shop and just being like, all right, mate, do you like that clownfish?
I see what you mean. I think the reason,
do you meet people?
The reason I said about being like, be nice to each other, I get that impression actually from the forums and from Facebook rather than Facebook, in real life. So you are correct. 99% of people, in fact, probably 100% of people that you meet in real life, probably 99%, there will be still just some bastards out there, are nice people.
Yeah.
It's, but even, and that God complex thing that I said, mentioned to you earlier, that also comes from Facebook. And that also comes
it's just the internet generally. It's easy to be a dickhead on the internet, isn't it? And even if you don't mean to be, sometimes you'll say things because you're like, oh, you're chuntering to yourself. And it's easier to type it. Whereas nobody, it doesn't make you a bad person because you're saying it. It's just easy to sometimes have no filter and just type stuff. So even if someone's nasty on the internet, doesn't mean they're nasty people. If you meet them, because we're like social creatures, aren't we, humans? Yeah. We need like physical interactions face to face. We're not supposed to sit on Facebook all day messaging each other. And it's so much better when you do meet people. Places like Love to Reef are really good because you get to properly mix in with people.
See, I think obviously Jamie and I arrived together. I left, but Jamie was still talking to other people, which I know he didn't know. So that's the perfect example. Mm-hmm. He turned up with just me. I was the only person. And he went, oh, wait, if you leave me, you're going to leave me on my lonesome or something like that, he said. And then 10 minutes later, I see him chatting to people. So, yeah, those sorts of places are a good place to meet people. So, yeah.
Where else? How else? Ryan's tips on making friends.
I'm terrible making friends. I've only got one friend. Like, and that's you. Well,
you had three a minute ago.
I've only got three friends. That's like, you're one of them. So that's like the quality of those friends is pretty low.
I think to be honest, it is difficult because it's such a niche hobby as well. Actually, coincidentally, my last house, my neighbour, literally opposite the road, set up a reef tank as well.
Yeah.
And this was before I started the channel and all that sort of stuff. And so that was great because you just go over and talk all the time. But it's such a niche hobby, you don't meet people like that generally.
Has he still got a tank?
I moved house and I haven't kept in touch with him.
Where does he live? I need his address. I'll send him some advertising.
Yeah, he lives in Haven. So
the other thing, I used to go and buy tank breakdowns. This is how I first started. I used to buy tank breakdowns and I used to sell them in individual pieces. And there was someone who used to be on the channel quite a lot called Tim, who very, 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 I used to refer to him as Fish Weirdo. I would go down the pub with him and we would talk. The only thing we had in common, we were two very, very different people, but the only thing we had in common was our love of fish and corals. Mm-hmm. And we used to go, at one point, we were going to the pub once a week on a specific day just to talk about that. And other people in the pub, one day, a woman came up to us and she went, I've been listening to you for about 40 minutes now. And I'm so intrigued by what you're talking about. I have to ask because what you're saying, things like jack-o'-lantern leptoceras.
That's not a word.
And Hollywood stunner chalice. It sounds like you're talking in code.
Yeah, exactly. Dodgy deals.
But for us, we can talk about it completely fluently. And I go Hollywood stunner chalice. You know exactly what that is. Mm. But other people don't.
Yeah, so having it means nothing. Yeah.
Yes. So it's almost like you even have your own little language with each other that other people don't understand either.
And so, because it's so niche, the it's not just like fish keeping is one thing, but saltwater fish is so niche. And I think people are, this is probably a generalization, might even be wrong, but I think people who keep saltwater are more obsessed. Like you get more, or there'll be a higher percentage of people who are obsessed with it rather than freshwater or other stuff. There's a guy I work with who got an axolotl recently. You know, those little funny, squishy lizard type things. Yeah. And it's a freshwater amphibian. And I have no interest in it whatsoever. But he was like, oh, you keep fish. I keep an axolotl. And I was like, I was like, that's not the same. But even then, obviously you want to talk about it. So I was like, oh, tell me about it. And within about 3 seconds, it's like, we've exhausted all the commonalities here, but you don't exhaust that with a reefer. You just there's endless stuff to talk about.
There was one other thing actually I didn't mention earlier. and I'm a bit all over the place tonight, which is fine because we're doing things different. About the show, I saw other people's corals and I thought to myself, I can do better. That's what I thought. That's what
better than what you're currently doing, or better than
them? No, not better than them. I thought they were better than me. And I thought I can do better, like myself. Because I think when you are very isolated, and there are absolutely some shops that are like this, where they have been doing the same things over and over again, and they've never been to another shop for the last 15 years, so they only see what they've seen.
I know someone like that.
Yeah, me. So when I was there, I looked at especially collective corals.
Collective corals, yeah.
Yeah, I looked at them. I saw and the colors of them and the types. And I just thought, why am I not doing this? Like, why am I not? So he, as I said, he had some really nice acros, and I just go, I don't cater for the acro market particularly because it's high risk, high reward, and there's other companies that do it better than me. So, and I've got lots of people that want the other stuff, so I'm fine. I don't need it.
Yeah.
But why not? Why shouldn't I do it for my own, even for my own self?
Yeah. So travel broadens the mind, people say, and that's because you go and see different experiences, different cultures, different landscapes, and all this sort of stuff. Yeah. And whenever you meet someone who does something differently, it's always interesting. Yeah. So that's always good to see other people. The only thing, and it's brilliant if that's inspired you to try to do better. Fantastic. That's amazing.
Absolutely, it did.
That's the way you should be. But the only thing I'll say is, if they came to your place, they'd be like, God, he's doing so many things that are so good here. I wish I was doing that.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's like. With there are people whose tanks I go to see, and I'm like, your tank is amazing. And then they come to see my tank, and they're like, I hate my tank. Your tank's amazing.
I know what you mean. I think to some extent, it's just if you're seeing something you don't see every day,
yeah, exactly.
It makes you feel that way.
Yeah.
But still,
it's a good point.
Because there are definitely things that I could improve on, and I'm actively trying now to like properly push it. So I think I've spent, well, as of next week, I've got another box of corals coming on Tuesday. So I've had a box every single week. I think I've spent £4,000 at least on coral within in the last month.
Okay.
And look, to be fair, I've sold lots of it, so it's good. Yeah. And I also accidentally ordered the box on Tuesday. I didn't mean to order it.
Accidental.
Yeah, accidentally. There was one spare one, and I was like, and I said, and I assumed it was going to be for last Tuesday. I went, oh yeah, I'll take it. And they went, oh no, it's for next Tuesday. I was like, okay, I'll still take it. So it was kind of an act. I thought there was a spare box, which was really like a really heavily discounted rate. And it wasn't. It was just a normal box, which hadn't been sold for next week, is what I thought.
James Reef has just made a good point. You know, you're talking about how you've seen things that you want to do and you're like, right, I want to make myself better.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to put this in your monthly review. So.
Well, one of the things I used the frag swap for was I wanted to expand the amount of those I have. Because okay, I know someone who used to sell Zoas literally on eBay, and he said, I made like 16 grand from selling Zoas. And I went, I don't sell that many Zoas because they're too much of a pain in the ass. Like where they grow all over the rack, don't they? Yeah.
So, ReefDogZoas.com. Interesting.
But and this was just literally a guy with one tank. And how true? I don't know if it was true or not. People sometimes exaggerate. Yeah. But and eBay, obviously, as well. You sell things well cheap on there usually. So I'm starting
to I've spoken to a few people who have Zoa setups in their garage.
Yeah.
And they're all actually pretty impressive for hobbyist level.
Yeah.
But they always say to me that you don't make that much money. And they might be playing it down. But they say you don't make that much of money because it's like it's a lot of work. And like the last guy I went to see, I can't remember where it was. It was a few years ago now. I was probably there for 45 minutes and that was a quick stop. And so there's a lot of time invested and you've got to spend money and all these sorts of things. And there's always fragging Zoas and single polyps and growing them is a pain, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But Zoas are really popular. I'd like to see more Zoas, like a whole Zoa section on your website. Have you got blue-eyed blondes?
No.
I've got billions of them, and they're lovely. I'll give you some blue-eyed blondes.
That's because we're friends. See, other thing, you get to give corals to people.
Free corals.
And you get free corals, or you can, like, bank corals. So Jamie bought a tenuous yesterday, and I went, are you sure you want that? because you know what they're like. It was a big colony of tenuous. And he went, do you want a frag of it just in case? And I went, not really. So I probably will not end up taking a frag of it. But like, it's one of those corals that makes you nervous, doesn't it? You've had tenuous. Yeah. You know better than me.
So tenuous are a real pain in the ass for me. They're not impossible to keep. People can keep them and make them look spectacular.
Yeah.
I could never make them look amazing. I had several that just withered and died and didn't grow. There was one that I had that was really nice. I had it for probably 3 or 4 years. It got to colony size. It was a decent kind of, wasn't the size of your head, but it was a good size, really big coral. Loads of branches and all that sort of stuff. And then when I was breaking the tank down, it just started like it faded and it lost almost all of its color. It just looked really bland.
Yeah.
Just kind of this really like off pinky purple, just looked rubbish. And I was thinking, what's wrong with it? And I'd put it up for sale for like 350 quid because it was quite a nice colony.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, well, I can't sell that. And I took it out to see if there was anything on it, if there was like a pest on it, biting or whatever. I expected it, nothing wrong with it. I dipped it, nothing wrong with it. I took macro photos, zoomed in, nothing wrong with it. And then after I'd done that, I don't know if it was dipping or whatever, the whole thing bleached, the whole thing stripped. And I'd had that for 4 years, growing fantastically, looking awesome.
Yeah.
tenuous is a pain in the ass.
Because that's the other thing. I need to put, if I run out tomorrow and go, right, I'm going to get into acros, I'm going to buy loads of acros, yeah? That's actually a bad choice, if you think about it, as opposed to going, I'm going to go out tomorrow and buy a load of zoas. Because one of them is like cheaper, probably more likely to sell to other people. So acros, you might have like 1% of the market, like the real high end stuff. Mm. Whereas zoas, you probably have like 50% of the market. So I have a small zoa section, don't I? But it's all for me. It's like a 3-foot by 2-foot tank full of zoas. Mm. I'm not catering for the right people at the moment. And I remember saying to a shop once, I went in there and the guy said to me, why am I not selling other fish? And I looked at him, I went, 80% of your fish in here are not reef safe. So that means they can only go in non-reef safe tanks, like tanks without coral.
Yeah.
And then he looked at it and went, oh yeah. So this is exactly what I've just looked at and gone.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not catering for the people that want zoas, and that's most people, not everyone, but that's a lot of people.
Mm.
So especially beginners.
Because they're colourful, they're easy to grow generally, easy to keep generally, and they're not too expensive.
And people collect them. Once you've got one, they want two, three, four, five, and to create a little garden. So it's like continuous sales. Whereas if you sell one toadstool, it's just one toadstool, if you see what I mean.
Yeah.
People don't usually have a collection of toadstools.
I'm going to save you the people of the internet who are thinking, oh, I'd love a Zoa gardener. And you think you'd want something like this.
Oh, yeah.
Look at all that. They look so spectacular, all the different colours and all that sort of stuff. Yeah. Fast forward 6 months, that will be one colony of one Zoa.
It's likely to be one really ones with the tallest stalks will have outgrown and shaded everything else.
But it's not just about shading. What I found, I've tried this a few times, and for some reason, there'll be one Zoa. There must be some kind of coral warfare going on. What's the word when they release allelopathy?
You know what it is. I don't know what it is.
Whatever it is. There must be something going on, because I ended up with laser lemon Zoas. Really nice Zoa, to be fair, and I didn't complain. It was a colony on this rock. It looked awesome, and I sold it when I broke the tank down. Anyway, that took over this. I had about 6 or 7 different Zoas. And the idea was for them to be a Zoa garden, and they'd all look nice next to each other. One just took over. It took a couple of years, but it completely took over and wiped out, just slowly killed everything else. I didn't ever see, it wasn't like coral warfare where you can see something stinging.
Yeah.
You come in one day and you'd be like, I used to have tiny D's there.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I do now, and this is a shameless plug for my Etsy page, but I 3D print Zoa rocks, and you can buy ceramic rocks online as well, and isolate them on their own island, and just have one type of Zoa on each rock and on each Zoa island, and they look wicked. They look really cool. So I wouldn't go for a garden like that. But yeah,
you can even put them near each other because they stalk out, don't they? You can put them near each other so they look like they're one complete island, but they're not.
Which is actually what this guy's done. He's put three next to each other. That's better. But yeah, that's but Zoes are wicked. I love Zoes. The trouble is, I don't know if I'm going to have them in my new tank because they pop off and float around the tank and then attach to the rock work. But I might. What I want is a few little rocks, like.
Well,
islands.
Don't you worry. Soon, I'm going to have loads of different Zoas for you. Yeah. I want to become people's Zoa guy. Happy I want people. Yeah, I want it. The name Prestige Reef to become synonymous with not well everything, but Zoas and like. Oh, yeah. I want that.
What you should also do in terms of acros, I gave you half a dozen of my nicer acros.
Yeah.
Grow them out. See how they get on. If they all fade and they look awful, well, never mind.
Yeah.
But if in a year's time they're colony sizes and they're looking nice, frag them and sell them because then they've been in captivity for years.
I'm going to put acros, I've decided, in the water box. I've actually got a strawberry shortcake in there already at the moment, just one single frag. And it's doing all right and the polyps are out and it'll probably die tomorrow. But
was that mine or was that a new one?
No, that's a new one. That's like I don't think you gave me one of those, did you?
I think I did. Anyway.
I don't know. But either way, so I put that in there. And I just think like that should be my project. So that's my business. Like the coral farm, I'm doing this because the coral farm is that way and the water box is that way. The water box, I think, should be sort of like I might actually get rid of the angelfish because if I'm going to do it properly, then I can't be pissing around with angelfish, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know, it's always meant to be the angelfish. It was always meant to be the angelfish tank, but I can always put the king eye in the coral farm because I know it doesn't eat coral anyway because it didn't eat the coral when it was in there previously. But I want to try and do something I'm proud of. And I think that would be a good way of doing it. And then I could always take frags off that eventually and sell those.
To be fair, the main problem with Zoas and keeping Zoas and selling Zoas is that you've got to frag them regularly because they can spread and just you end up with billions of them. And how do you sell a billion Zoas, you know?
Yes.
So, whenever I
sell mystery boxes.
Yeah, it's true. Whenever I sell Zoas, it's almost always, I don't know, 10 polyps or whatever. Because for a start, you don't just want to, as a hobbyist, you don't want to sell one polyp per sale or whatever. But but also, if I sold a single polyp, like my my blue-eyed blondes, I bet I've got 200 polyps. So if I were to sell a single one each, I'd be here all week.
You'd be surprised. So how often people buy corals from the website and they'll buy like two polyps of, I don't know, utter chaos. And then when they get it, it's got like 15 polyps on it. And that's because at one point when I fragged it on the first day, there were two polyps. And since then, it's grown another like 13 of them. And I can't be bothered to go, oh, no, I'm sorry, but I haven't got two polyps. I just send it and go start again. So Zoas are usually the thing. It's a little sort of insider trick. Zoas are usually, if like, when you buy on the website, you usually, not always, you will usually get more than you pay for.
That's a cheat code.
That basically is a cheat code. I wonder if sometimes, I've said that before, but remember, if you only get one and you only bought one, then that's just how it is because that's what you bought.
We have a fake reef dork from Love to Reef.
Oh, is that? Yes, that was him. Well, I don't know if that was him, but there was a fake reef dog.
So cheat code, buy Zoas off Ryan and you get billions. Guaranteed, 100%.
Not guaranteed, but sometimes.
Not guaranteed. Yeah. What else is going on, Ryan? Was there anything else? I can't remember what we were talking about. How did we get onto Zoas?
because I said that I wanted to improve.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's... I'm just telling you because you're like my boss now, aren't you? You're keeping me accountable. So
I'm going to do you a favor because I've got some Zoas that you won't have. You've got the radio. I can't remember what they were last week, whatever. You've got laser lemons. You got Utter Chaos. So, and these are Reef Dork celebrity Zoas as well. So.
True. Those ones sell for less because you're attached to them.
Nah.
I mean, did you say you're gonna give them to me? Oh, I mean, those are sell for more.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got your name attached.
But I'll find some more Zoas. I've got a really nice one. I don't know if it's Sunny D, but there's another one I've got that's really nice that when it's grown out, I'll give you that as well. But we'll build up your collection.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want to try to, like, I think I'll be, I'm always very honest. I got complacent. Like, I genuinely think I got complacent. I sell plenty of corals, don't get me wrong, but I stopped growing. I stopped trying to be better. I was like, I wasn't looking for new corals to grow, whereas going to this show made me, and the frag swap as well, made me go, I want to be better again. So I don't want to have 10 types of zoas. I want to have 50 types of zoas or 100 types of zoas. So, yeah, I've got this fire in my belly, I think, all of a sudden. And I genuinely think it's from going yesterday.
I'd recommend Gaviscon for that.
Yeah.
We'll see how long that lasts.
Yeah, it'll last probably. Well, actually, so I think you obviously know this. I have a work experience person coming to the farm to work with me. And I believe he actually listens to the live stream, so he might even be listening. So don't you worry, work experience person. This is what we are going to be focused on. You are going to be keeping me accountable.
And also, Ryan has money to buy corals. So what you should do is go and research zoas. Find a load of your favorite zoas, your top 10 zoas, and present a list to him on day one and be like, these are the ones you should buy.
True.
And then he has to buy them. So.
True.
Yep. So what are you going to do by next weekend's live stream, Ryan, with zoas?
Well, I can't frag them at the moment because your fish are in there. And although although it's very, very unlikely there'll be an issue, I mean, if you're happy for me to frag them and there's a potential problem with your fish, then by all means. But I'm specifically not touched that tank at all since I put them in there.
I would crack on. If you're really worried, just put some new carbon in or something. But okay, fine.
The only reason I'm worried is because remember I had the purple tank for 17 years. It died.
Yeah.
The corals, fragged the zoas. The next day, the purple tank died. And is there a connection? Yeah, I don't know, but I don't want to do it with your fish.
Okay. I'm hoping. So this weekend, the tank is now...
I didn't know that. Seller Marine's closing down. I just read it in the chat.
Sad news from the Midlands. Seller Marine. Is that in Stoke-on-Trent?
Firstly, is that definitely true before we just read that out?
That's the point. There are no facts here. Let's come on to Facebook and find out and verify that. Seller Marine.
They've been around a long time.
I've bought from them a few times.
Aaron's Aquarium used to talk about it. That's why I think it seems to...
He was in Seller Marine, wasn't he?
I don't know, wasn't
he? Yeah. Here we go. Closing down sale. All stock must go. Yes. Seller Marine is going. Too much going on in my personal life. I just made the decision to close the shop. Okay. That's sad. Closing down sale.
It is tough.
I'll give them a like. I'll give them a sad face.
There you go.
Yeah. I wonder why. But anyway, 8 years he's been doing it.
Yeah.
So he's doing a closing down sale. So if you want some stuff, probably cheap, go on Seller Marine on the Facebook page and buy everything off him.
Even I'm going to have a look because sometimes you can get some. I don't know if he sells coral or not, but if he does, why not? Why wouldn't I have a look?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, go and take it all off him.
Yeah. See, I'm looking to expand other ways as well. So I'm going to start an invert section on the website. I just think if I can sell why don't I sell an urchin? Why don't I sell a starfish? There's no difference. The shipping process will be the same.
There's no difference between an invert and a coral. No, okay.
There's no difference between coral. In that shipping process.
Have you posted snails and stuff before?
No. But I'm sure I'll be fine.
I'm not saying you can't do it, by the way. I'm just wondering.
I just think if I can ship an acro, which is like highly sensitive, why can't I ship a snail? Or why can't I ship an urchin? Surely they are less sensitive than an acro is.
If I can dodge a wrench, I can dodge a ball.
Yeah. But that's my theory anyway. So I actually got some rich. Do you see those pink cocoa worms I got?
Yeah, really nice.
They are so nice. Those are also in the water box at the moment. And they will be for sale, but they're like crazy expensive. I picked them up without realizing. I just put them in. And then when I got them, I was like, wow.
Okay.
But apparently everyone says they're really, really hard to, I think I Googled it. They're like £90 to sell. And for a fan worm, that's a lot of money, I think.
Are they difficult to keep?
I don't think so. I think they're the same as any of the other fan worms. Even the brown, you get like the brown feather dust. I think they're all similar.
I've only ever had one. It was that brown with like white specks on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it came out of its tube, which I think is not uncommon.
They're in the water box at the moment by themselves, because that, there was another problem. If I put them in any tank in the coral farm, any tank, they will get eaten by the copper bands.
Yeah.
And the way I know this is because I did it once before. I bought those brown ones. I thought, oh, these will be fine. Put them in there. Immediately, the copper band ate it. I was like, that was a waste of money. There's also a difference between the brown ones and the pink ones. The pink ones have a hard skeleton.
Okay. So
the brown ones have like this, like, it's like
squidgy, tubey.
Yeah. Like, I imagine it's like the cloth from a mummy, you know, like.
Yeah. Completely. Semi rigid. Yeah.
Yes. Whereas it's literally like a solid shell.
Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. So it's a different animal, different worm.
I think it must be.
No facts here.
Les, just quickly while he's sneezing, I do have some of, if you're talking about the Millipora, yeah, I have them, and they're still pink. So just to clarify, they're still pink.
Fair enough. I didn't do weekend reefing. I'm gonna do it very, very quickly.
Okay.
This is what the tank is looking like.
The end.
Yeah, basically. I've got the lights up. I've got the MP40s up. There's a cable sat down there that is not actually, that's no longer there. It's hidden. I've done all my cable tidying, as we know. So I was going to do, next week, my video was going to be on all the equipment. Because I've been taking it slowly, which you don't believe I have. Next week, it's just going to be on lighting and flow instead, because I've not got all the other equipment in as yet. Well, not set up anyway. But yeah, it's going along slowly. But the reason why I was thinking about that is because actually I bought a heater today. What I need to do tomorrow with a bit of luck, or some point this week, is drain it, fill it back up again, put salt in it. Then I can start the cycle, put my rock in it, and then I can get my fish back off you.
That wasn't why I mentioned it.
I know, but I'm just keeping you up to date.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Let's put it this way. It's going to be a pain in the ass to catch them all. So yes. I have to take all the Zoa trays out, won't I, to get them?
Yeah.
So I'm not looking forward to that either.
Did you say you've got a little sandbox in there for the wrasse?
When I very first started 4 years ago, I put a sandbox in every single tank.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
But all the sand is now all over the place. I don't think they have any sand in them anymore.
The reason I ask you is because I haven't decided if I'm going bare bottom or not. I think I'm going sand. But I'm like 60-40, and I keep thinking.
He'll be fine. I've literally seen him. Like, he doesn't sleep in the sand. He sleeps up against the glass. So okay. the rack's here, and then the glass is here. He sleeps under the rack and up against the glass.
But is he happy? Just because you can see him?
Ask him, and he was like, yeah, please don't send me back.
I miss Alex, yeah. No. Anyway, I don't know. I'm still going back and forwards on it. I change my mind every 5 seconds, and there's pros and cons to both. And
you'll put sand in there.
Probs. I've got sand.
But yeah, you'll put sand in there.
It's like, not like you can't have a good tank with sand.
No. People have it, and it's, I actually don't think it's that bad having sand. Mm. So, yeah.
All right. Well, I really am flagging now.
I know you're tired.
So,
and I did 95% of the talking, probably, I'd say.
I know. I've just had to sit here. So we will wrap it up. But we'll do news and all that sort of stuff next week. We'll be back with a proper one. And
just quickly, there's two things I want to mention. Firstly, Cora of the Week is a blueberry pie zoa.
No!
Yes! I got it out there.
Blueberry pie zoa. Bastard.
Because I bought one yesterday.
Don't like it. It's rubbish. Horrible.
Yeah.
No. Which one is it? There's about 10 there.
It's just blue and green.
This one?
So yeah, probably that one.
Probably.
I'm assuming you're wrapping it up now, aren't you?
Certainly am.
Yeah. Screw it. So I'm going to put a discount code out for tonight. The only reason I thought about not doing it is because obviously Stella Marine is just doing their thing. But there's a discount code out, which is discount 20 in capital letters. So discount, capital letters, and 20. Because I've
just put it in the chat.
I spent £4,000 or something on coral. I need to sell some more.
Okay.
So, yeah. So if you want to go buy some corals and keep me busy next week, and just think, every time my phone goes off tonight, it goes, ching, yeah, you're giving me a hit of endorphins, which will make you feel good and me feel good. So anyway, that is it.
So Gary says that's not blueberry pie. The second from the end is, I've closed the tab, so I've lost it. But you have to click back and look, make sure you got the right one. Mine. Just quick one on the sand thing. This is what, when you ask about bare bottom, this is what you get. You get no sand, no sand, no sand.
Yeah.
And then you get sand. And there'll be people who, I'm not saying this is what these guys are doing. There'll be people who say no sand is the only way to go, and there'll be people who say sand is the only way to go. And it's like, ugh.
It's the same with anything. That yeah. like
there's no right answer.
Them both.
Exactly.
But for me, the aesthetics of sand outweighs the negatives. Is how I
think
feel.
So. Yeah, I think you're right.
And that's it.
To be fair, the only thing that's pausing me at the moment is because on the Cade, I've still got that bloody Euglena stuff, green stuff. Yeah. And it's only on the sand. That's it, and it's just pissing me off. But that doesn't. To be fair, if that was a bare bottom, that doesn't necessarily mean it wouldn't have it.
Yeah, so.
But I think I probably will go sand. But anyway, right, I'm going to go to sleep.
Enjoy.
Bye.
Yeah. See you later.
Bye. Cheers, guys. Bye.